There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Can you be sure that we are not just all living in a referee's main character simulation? Are they the main character? Do sports exist just for officials to be like, hey, let's take a look at that goal. Did it count? Let's pull out the iPad, guys. Nobody's doing anything. Give me 30 minutes, rules analyst free. Hey, it's February, and the NHL's announced that February is no challenges month. I'll watch more games. I promise. Oh, it's week 17 in the NFL. You know what that means? Gene Steratore's off today. Thank you. Please go away. We're just trying to watch sports.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
You know, that's a perfect open today because I was going to tell you a story from the tailgate this week about a listener saying, I'm the cranky old guy now. And I thought, I'm not cranky. And then he gave five examples of how I sound like a cranky old guy.
So maybe you are the cranky old guy?
And I immediately bought into it.
I'm like, what, you know, the five examples are what? Officials?
Well, just the idea of being, oh, shut up about that.
Uh-huh.
You know, like the get off my lawn guy.
Get off my lawn, yelling at clouds.
What did I tell you about MVP all year long? Why does everybody care about this so much?
Okay, yeah.
You know, I've got
That's right.
I've got my rules analyst. I've got my 3-2-1 point system in the NHL. Like, I'm just, I yell about the same five things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cranky about stuff. Yeah, I thought, you know what? Maybe that's right. Maybe I am.
Hmm. Especially so, about rules analysts.
Well, you know.
That seems to be the number one, I would say.
I'm also cranky about people always needing to be the underdog.
Oh, yeah,
right?
That's right.
Finding the doubt. Yes, every team has done it. I saw someone sent me a link overnight. Andy Reid is trying to paint the Chiefs as nobody believes in us underdogs as they go for their third consecutive Super Bowl. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm cranky. Maybe it's deserved that we should all be cranky about things.
I would say I'm cranky about the underdog thing, too. I'm always cranky about that. Just everybody's got to find
everybody.
It. And it's an era where you're going to find it because there are 10,000 people talking about football. You can find four that said you stink.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
even if it's more than four, whatever. Like, okay, yes, there were people that said the Bills were not going to win the division this year. That happened, and more than four. Like, that was a lot, right?
Yep.
But, man,
they were not supposed to go.
Nobody thought
2-15.
Allen said nobody thought we could compete.
Yeah, I know. Come on.
Like that. Now we're getting to. Okay, maybe one person with a blog said that.
Craig Carton said that.
Craig Carton. Okay,
and
I mean, that might even be worse.
I think it might have been Emmanuel Acho that said, like, you don't need talent. You know, which,
yeah,
whatever. And then, you know, like, there's always, there's a new clip out there that Bills players said. Some Bills player in the locker room was overheard saying about the Ravens, now their nine Pro Bowlers can go to the Pro Bowl. And that's kind of funny.
Yes.
But it's kind of. It's right. You said, like, this is me being cranky old guy. I swear I'm a happy cranky old guy, if that's okay. But which is it? Do you want players that go to the Pro Bowl, or do you want to be mad about players that didn't get picked to go to the Pro Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
Because, hey, the Bills are underrated. Oh, okay. They deserve more respect. Okay, well, more Pro Bowlers. No, I don't want that. I want to be the underdog. Oh, okay. The Bills are underdogs in Kansas City. Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody believes in you, and that's disrespectful.
So, like, we're going around constantly, round and round we go. Anyway, that's how it goes. Happy Wednesday. It is cold.
-3 was the first thing I saw in my app when I woke up this morning.
It's going to warm up quite a bit. It's going to go up to the teens by afternoon. Really? Like,
no, I know. It's just a funny sentence to hear. Man, it's going to warm up today. Yeah. It's going to get it's going to get to 13.
We're looking at a 15 to 20 degree jump over the course of the day. So
all right.
By this afternoon, you might think, well, it's nice out because it is cold right now. And in terms of wherever you live, we got hammered with snow in Buffalo. Sometimes I feel like whenever we get snow, like Josh, you're in the South Towns, anybody else out there in the South Towns, you guys get it all the time. It's not unusual. When the snow drifts up here for a solid 5-6 hours and we get dumped with 8 inches, it's kind of like a moment where you say, oh, wow, it really is snowing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it usually snows on you guys, but even we got it up here. So when my family calls and asks if everybody's okay, I get to say, like, oh, yeah, we did get some snow. Mm-hmm. Family out of town always calling about, is everyone okay? You know, well, I live in the North Town, so we'll be fine.
Yeah.
So it snowed a lot, and, you know, take it easy. Do the best you can.
Maybe let it warm up today until you get out with the snowblower.
It was definitely a start the car before you went outside kind of moment.
100%.
It was -6 when I sat down in my car this morning.
Man, that is nuts.
It was painful walking out the door.
I ran my car for a full 10 minutes before I got out to it. Like, just have it running, have it be somewhat warm on the inside. I had to look. We have like those mini split units in our upstairs, not the downstairs, but the upstairs. And there was a green light we had never seen before.
Blinking. Yeah.
And I looked up in the manual that I don't know if this was the light. I couldn't find where the light meant, but I assumed it meant that the thing could only run when it gets as cold as -3.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the heating unit works and, you know, anything above -3. And I looked at the app. I'm like, it says -3.
Yeah.
So
I think the blinking green light, we've got one of those on ours, and that usually means it's really cold outside, and I think the unit is saying, I'm going to need a few minutes.
I need a breath.
That's your mini split taking a knee. So you're like, hold on.
Check me out.
Give me a second.
Anthony Richardson coming out of the game.
Right. Give me a minute. It's a pretty big ask.
Put Flacco in.
So, yeah, it is cold out there. And stay warm. Or just wait until the afternoon. School's closed again. Like, you know, this thing about the temperature. And once you get a certain temperature, you know schools are going to be closed. So the snow is one element, and then the temperatures are another. It is nuts. Is it weird that I think about days like yesterday and days like today and just think, thank goodness the game was not today. Thank goodness the game didn't get played, Bills-Ravens, in the snow that fell yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, there have been some crazy snow games in NFL history, but what about one where the receivers that run out for a pass can't see the quarterback?
Yeah.
Has that ever happened? What's the worst visibility?
Probably the 17 Colts game, right?
That was pretty bad.
For visibility? Like, yeah. I think by the second half, the snow was on the field, but the visibility had cleared up, right? Because when you picture LeSean McCoy's overtime run in that game, like, it's pretty clear.
You see
him.
Yeah.
I feel like second quarter of that game, at least from watching on TV, it was like you couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming the receivers were dealing with something similar. The way that Ravens game was played, though, like, sure, it would have been terrible as a fan experience. The way the game was played, I'm not sure it would have hurt the Bills, though.
I don't know. I was only thinking of
the fan experience.
Not just the fan experience. I was going down a rabbit hole. Who would it favor? What if you could not see the football? Then, man, those read options from Lamar and Derrick Henry would have been real tough to handle.
They didn't run one.
No, I'm saying if it's snowing so bad that they think,
okay, right,
no one can actually see who has the football.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Now they're going to run it every play.
And the play ends and, you know, Lamar runs back to the official holding the ball like, I had it the whole time. I know you can't see anything.
See, what could be tough there, though, is if you keep the ball and the Bills don't know Henry doesn't have it, so they tackle him.
No,
the refs blow the whistle. Oh, he's down.
Right.
And then they walk over and, like, where's the football? And Lamar's sprinting to the end zone, but it doesn't matter because you already blew the whistle.
These are the things. Yeah, I was thinking about that level of stuff yesterday
when the snow
was really falling. So anyway, here it is. We're on to the Chiefs. It's already Wednesday.
And Kansas City weather, I'm sure, is not as bad. So.
No, it's supposed to be just fine. I don't think it's going to be too much of a factor. Full show today in prepping you for Bills-Chiefs. Sabres won last night, so good for them. That's a nice win for them. We'll talk to Lindy Ruff at 9:30. We missed him yesterday. We'll talk to Lindy today. But your Bills breakdowns and Bills-Chiefs, Sal at 7, Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast at 7:30, Carrington Harrison, who we talk to every time the Bills play the Chiefs. He hosts an afternoon show there in Kansas City. And, you know, every week that the Bills and Chiefs play, which is a lot, we have him on, and I go on his show. He had me on last week to preview Bills-Ravens, and the parting message I gave him, Joe, was I hope to talk to you next week. And here we are. We're going to talk with him next week. So he covers the Chiefs. All that coming up. Lots and lots of Bills-Chiefs to prep for as we get closer and closer to this game. And, you know, as we were joking about underdogs and all that, should the Commanders and Eagles be thinking that they're being disrespected because their game is being treated like it's an undercard? Is it not?
It is.
Is it not the undercard? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to NFL Weekend. Our first fight, Washington-Philly. Yeah, enjoy this one. The main event's coming up. Because it does feel like that.
I think that's shouldn't be that surprising, though, right? Like,
no, probably not. And I think Bills-Chiefs rates much higher than Bills-Ravens even does. We thought this last week was going to be game of the year, and I saw at ProFootballTalk.com that the rating for Bills-Ravens was way below Bills-Chiefs in the divisional round last year. Okay. So I think Bills-Chiefs brings even more of the casual fan maybe than Bills-Ravens does. For whatever reason, that game on Sunday did not touch last year's game in the same spot, in the same stadium.
Interesting.
Yeah. Down 16%.
Because I would have thought that would have maybe been at least been higher. I mean, maybe record-breaking for the storyline there. But I guess, I mean, what's the main difference? The main difference in the story of the game is Bills-Ravens, it's two guys that haven't done it that are both amazing. Let's see which one comes out of it. And this one is more the hero versus the villain.
Yeah, the Chiefs.
Right?
It's the champs.
Like, people will, what you might have is in this game that you didn't have in the last game is not just people that are going to be tuning in to see the Bills win. You're going to have people tuning in to see if the Chiefs lose. Right? Like, that's a moneymaker in all of sports. Right? Alabama, I watched college football for years. Why? Just because I wanted to see if Alabama would lose.
Yeah.
Floyd Mayweather in boxing sold a million fights because you didn't know who the guy on the other side was, but I want to see if he loses. There might be that for the Chiefs. There should be that for the Chiefs.
There's a point, I think an offshoot of a point here on pressure. Maybe you saw Marlon Humphrey, Ravens cornerback. He tweeted he's rooting for the Bills. And the way he said it was kind of funny, too. He said, no reason other than to be a hater. I have no reason of saying this other than being a hater. The Bills or whatever NFC team got to beat the Chiefs, we can't let them keep getting away with this. So here's one NFL player openly saying, go Bills.
Who just lost to them three days ago.
48 hours later, he's ready. Go Bills. And I had somebody else that was a Broncos fan send me a link where someone made up a Bills Zubas logo, except they changed it to Broncos colors and said, like, go Bills this week. So while the Bills might be an underdog for now, and they are still, again, the challenger, they have not been to the Super Bowl, they've not proven they can do what Kansas City has proven they can do, you might think that there's no pressure in there, and there's an ability to play loose. We are all also joking that the whole country is rooting for them. Right?
Yeah.
Is that not some added pressure? I mean, they want to win for themselves, they want to win for us, but you know,
everyone seems to be like, please, Bills win this football game. Like, please.
I saw on Instagram or wherever a funny video of a guy talking about the need to unify the country at such a polarizing time. And, you know, weaves in and out about the politics. And this is, so I'm begging you, Josh Allen, please do it for America.
Bring the country together,
right,
Josh Allen.
That's the landscape. That's the context for this game. And I think the Bills are carrying the flags of 15 other AFC teams. Who are the Dolphins rooting for? Probably not the Bills. Who are the Jets rooting for? Who are Patriots fans rooting for? I actually saw Dan Shaughnessy just wrote, Patriots fans, it's time to embrace the Chiefs.
What?
An article about how Patriots fans should appreciate that the Chiefs are as good as they are because it's actually bringing more light to how good the Patriots were. So another reason to root against the Chiefs.
In what twisted way? He's saying because the Chiefs are going through a dynasty that somehow wouldn't that take away from the Patriots dynasty?
You would think. You would think.
I'm very confused.
It's another reason to root against the Chiefs. Yeah, it's time to embrace the Chiefs, Patriots Nation. I'm going to get you the cliff notes of this.
It's a very strange take.
It is twisted. It is odd.
Because in my mind, I would say if you want the Patriots dynasty to look more impressive, the Chiefs not being able to do the same thing, I think, would be the way to do that. Right? If the Chiefs just go for 20 years and do what New England just did, why does that make New England's look better, I guess?
Great question.
It doesn't make any sense.
To me, it is another reason to root against the Chiefs, that now the Patriots and their media are trying to line up behind them. But yeah, he wrote, I'll get some of this because it's just kind of funny. Face it, Patriots fans, aside from the cheating and the paranoia, today's Kansas City Chiefs are your New England Patriots in the first 18 years of this century. And just talking about how they dominate the landscape and the fact that, you know, having a team like this is normal and you had one that's like this. I think that's his breakdown, basically, is look how dominant they are and how much everybody hates them. We had that. That's what we were. That's what Shaughnessy says, basically.
Okay.
Yep. I mean, hey, I wouldn't buy it.
I still think it's backwards logic, but okay. I like also that he was willing to admit the cheating right on the forefront there, like first
he
sentence.
He did close out with, you know, the Patriots appeared in 13 conference championship games, won 9, made it to 9 Super Bowls, won 6, and the Chiefs are only halfway there.
Well, are the Chiefs as hateable as New England ever was?
My God, yes.
Sure that's not recency bias?
No. No.
Shouldn't they be more likable, though, than what New England... New England cheated.
No.
New England cheated, and Belichick was a jerk, right? Like, or at least that's how he came off. And Brady was fake, and maybe you say Mahomes is the same thing, whatever. But I guess for me, maybe the only the one difference I would want to make is Reed to Belichick. Like, one of those coaches is likable and one is not. And one of those coaches cheated and one didn't. So maybe that's as far as I want to go with that, but that would be the little bit of a difference between how hateable New England was in Kansas City. Is in New England, I wanted the coach to fail at every moment. And like, I want the Chiefs to fail, but I don't really like Reed's fine. Reed's likable. I would say he's the other way around. Maybe he actually helps that for them. So the coach is the difference, I would say, between the two.
803-0550 to join us on this. The Chiefs are the worst. I need more people to get there. More people to get there. And I think we're slowly getting there.
They're trying to play the respect game, though.
Of course.
The Chiefs are.
Yes. Of course, they're not respected enough. They must be respected.
No. Like they're doing the here's Allen and Mahomes handshakes and we've got all the respect and admiration for Bills Mafia. You know, like they're not trying to play the trash talk game. I don't think they are trying to play the word doubted game, which is insane. But I don't see them playing the trash talk game.
It is media day, and that means that
maybe today we'll get that
right. It's an exercise in will anyone step in it, say the wrong thing? Will they both claim to be underdogs? You know, you mentioned that Seth Walder of ESPN pointed out the way the money is on betting, that the majority of bets are on the Bills, on the money line, and to win the game, too. Like, people are betting on the Bills to win.
On both. To the point where, like, yeah, he thinks
the line will move
and the Bills might be favored by kickoff on Sunday.
That'd be interesting. 803-0550. If you want to chime in on this, you know, just kind of waking up, warming up, and talking Bills Chiefs for a moment. Dan in Cheektowaga has called in early. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say real quick, I think the key to the game is kind of like how we had to get aggressive and stop Derrick Henry. I think the key to the game is be more aggressive and easier said than done. You can't let Kelce – hello?
Yeah, go ahead. You're on. Go ahead.
You cannot let Kelce catch the ball and start running for 15, 20, 25 yards like he seems to do a lot on Buffalo sometimes. I don't care. I'll take my chances with the wide receivers. We have good enough cornerbacks that can guard them one-on-one. You have to sandwich and stop this guy. I think that's the key to the game. And as far as you guys talk about the Chiefs-Patriots, for me, it's more dislike about the Chiefs. At least with Brady, I could respect them. They weren't winning games by the skin of their teeth. And we weren't good back then anyway. We weren't good that back then anyway. So I have way more respect. I just... The Chiefs are annoying. Go Bills.
Thanks, Dan. It's funny you say that. Like, They won a lot of games by the skin of their teeth. They won a lot of games by, I can't believe somebody's brain melted and they didn't run the ball from the 1 yard line, Marshawn Lynch and the Seattle Seahawks. I saw a highlight today of, I think it was an AFC Championship game in Indy, that they ultimately lost. The Patriots blew a lead in this game. But one of the highlights in the opening touchdown was Lawrence Maroney. Is that who it was? Fumbling the ball at the 3 into the end zone, recovered by Logan Mankins for an opening touchdown for the Patriots. Imagine if the Chiefs do that for the first drive. Fumble into the end zone, recovered by a lineman, touchdown. Now, don't you fully expect that to happen now that I put that in your brain?
That is the exact way they've played football all year, isn't it?
But on Kelce, the good news is his stat line from the first game against the Bills, I mean, he did nothing. I don't think the Bills are – you know, we could talk about the narrative of the Bills not being afraid of the Chiefs. They're not afraid of Kelce. 2 catches, 8 yards.
Mm-hmm.
That's it on 4 targets for Kelce. He had a 6-yard catch and a 2-yard catch in a full football game. Now, the one thing about Kelce you kind of have to not rule out, were they load managing him, yada, 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 until this time of year?
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's kind of what happened last year.
Yeah. And in the regular season, he finished a Pittsburgh game 8 for 84 on a touchdown. Yeah. And then last week went off on the Texans. So in the last 2 games, Kelce has looked like a significant weapon. I'll just be surprised if Kelce's the reason that Kansas City has success. I'm much more concerned about the receivers on the outside that they've got.
Well, did you see the way he got his yards last week against Houston? So he ends the day with 7 for 117 and a touchdown. He did it in a way that I wouldn't expect it to be repeated. He was getting yards after catch.
He had a 49-yard catch.
Yeah, where he broke 2 tackles. Like, the guys just kind of like just took bad angles and I don't know how it was terrible tackling by Houston that I would not expect many teams to fall for. So I'm not saying he didn't have a good game. And if you look at his playoff numbers in the past, like last year again, like he didn't have a great regular season statistically by his standards, and then playoff showed up and it was 71, 75, 116, 93, 3 touchdowns. Like he turned it on when it got to January. So I wouldn't put him at the number one guy on my list, but I respect it. I respect the threat that he is. Like, underneath, third. Why are they so good on third and short? Like, isn't he a huge reason why? Because it's Mahomes who's going to scramble around, and he's going to do a loop, and he's going to scramble to the right, and he's going to throw a little bit back across his body, and Kelce's going to be sitting there in 3 yards of open space, first down.
Maybe this is the fantasy footballer in me talking. You can't convince me that he had a good year in any way. Like, he did nothing this year.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they so good on third down? Mahomes' part of it is a big part of it. I mean, his EPA on third down is amazing, and his EPA on first and second is not good. So on third down, he turns into an MVP again, MVP-level player. And I just don't know about Kelce.
And his numbers are, like, really since Marquise Brown has been back and Worthy has taken a step forward, like, Kelce's numbers have come up with them. So, like, I wonder how much of a positive impact those two have been on freeing him up underneath.
Yeah, that's what I expected from them this year. All right, on third down, Travis Kelce has 25 catches, 1 touchdown, and it is his biggest yards per catch, which I guess is not surprising on third down, but he catches more on first and second than he does on third this year. 25 for 254 and a touchdown. He only had 3 touchdowns. Oh, never. Yeah, 3 touchdowns this entire year in the regular season. All right, we're into it. Chiefs week. What do you think about the bandwagon? Who's on the Bills bandwagon? Who have you seen? That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see by Sunday, 250 NFL players have tweeted like Marlon Humphrey did. Go Bills. I'd like to see the official account for the LA Chargers be like, go Bills. Same with the Broncos. Same with you name it. Like, why don't we do that? Why don't these teams and fan bases declare endorsements? Like, it's some sort of, well, maybe not quite an election, but go ahead, pick a side. Let's go. Teams and players like Marlon Humphrey. 803-0550. We'll get to our more phone calls when we get back. It is cold out there. It's Jeremy and Joe. I'm cranky these days. That's what I'm told, and I think it's probably right. But a lot of it comes right down to the Chiefs. They're the reason I'm cranky. We'll get back to more of your phone calls. Sal at 7 on a big day at One Bills Drive to find out what's going on with Matt Milano, an update on Taylor Rapp, update on Christian Benford, who's in concussion protocol, all coming up big day today here on WGR.